Revelation chapter 13. We have studied down through the 10th verse, but we're going to begin reading with the first verse again because of the couple of weeks that we have not been in this scripture. And then we're going to read to the end of the chapter. And so please follow along with me as we read the 13th chapter of Revelation. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemes. And the power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark of their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. He is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for the reading of your precious word. Thank you for those beautiful hymns and the special. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to come together. I thank you for bringing these folks together as we come to hear your word, to fellowship with each other, to fellowship with you. I ask, dear Father, that you will touch every heart, those that are here that have not asked you into their hearts. They have not realized that at the cross of Calvary is where you paid the debt. And they may have, Father, believed that. But do they realize that the Scripture is so clear that it is a personal relationship and we need to ask Jesus to come into our heart to save us? And then the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and we begin that wonderful walk, that wonderful time of learning and studying and victories that will come in our lives because of you. Please, dear God, lead us today as we look to your word. Just guide us each and every minute. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. as we look at these verses of Scripture, we find in review of this 13th chapter that about the 5th century, after the birth of Christ, the head of Rome itself, was literally wounded unto death. And as we look through these verses of Scripture, you're going to find that many of the prophecies that we have studied have been fulfilled concerning Babylon and the Medes and Persians, the Greeks, Rome, and all these things that are in the Word of God that we have in this precious Old Testament of ours. And you can go back to the book of Daniel and enjoy such a beautiful study. Finds its way all the way to the book of Revelation. And in order for us to understand the book of Revelation, we need to understand not only what is going to come, but what has already taken place. And so as we look now at, again, Rome, and history tells us that it was destroyed. Rome went in and destroyed the temple of God in Jerusalem in the year 70. It has never been rebuilt. And so there will be a day when that temple will be find its way, and we'll discuss that a little bit today. But this monster, this empire of Rome, was put to death, but not completely. Parts of it exists ever since. It doesn't seem to be a country of power, of authority, but it will be. And so even though the monster itself has died, parts of it have stayed. We find here that as we study this scripture at the beginning, there are 10. Remember, it said 10 crowns, and upon the 10 horns, and upon his horns were 10 crowns in that first verse of chapter 13. That's the 10 federated kingdoms that are going to come together. And Rome, once again, is going to be the authority, the control of that. A Roman emperor will rule once again. And as the whole world wonders at the revival of this empire, again, will not come about until the church is raptured. And so if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, hymn said, if your name, you know, as we read these scripture verses here, the name is written down. If it, in verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, being the beast, being the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We need to understand and realize that we don't have to face this time that we're looking at here. We can avoid it. We can miss it. If you know Jesus as your Savior, your name must be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that comes if you trust in Jesus as your Savior. So please do that today if you have not. If you realize there is going to be one world government, and it is coming, this super leader, this world dictator, will literally sweep people off of their feet. They will be so taken by him. They will worship him. This time that is coming has been called the age of idols. Now, it would seem that we're living in that age today, because people worship everything except the only one that is worthy of worship, and that is our God. He is worthy of worship. Worthy of worship. Made a comment this morning in Sunday school that the founding fathers of our country made it clear that if you did not believe that there was a creator, you're insane. You're insane if you don't believe there's a creator. How far have we come away from the presence of God today? We know that it is the works of the devil as he begins to bring everything together. And it is an age of idols. The worship of things and of people. We look at the fifth verse here, and this man is so prideful, this beast, that he was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. If you'll look at that, if your math is good, you'll find that to be 3.5 years. That's the last half half of the tribulation period. Find in verse 7, he makes war with the saints. He murders. And as we've studied in the past, back in the 6th chapter of Revelation, we find the many martyrs are underneath the altar in heaven. And they are a result of this work of this beast as he goes about to kill everyone that does not bow down to him, and saints, particularly born-again believers. Keep in mind, when the tribulation begins, there is not one saved person that goes into the tribulation. Not one saved. All born-again believers will leave this earth in the rapture. The Lord will come down, meet us in the air, and we'll forever be with the Lord. So the beginning. Now, we have 144,000 preachers, and some people have called them 144,000 Pauls, or the great preaching of Peter, and 144,000 of them, and they never veer from the truth. They continue to preach what is coming, and that is judgment. And many, through this awful time, do surrender to the Lord, only to die because they have accepted Jesus as their Savior. The wonderful thing is that death to a believer is not the end. Death to a believer is victory. If it not be for death, we would be confined to these bodies forever. The sickness, and as we continue to get older, and it hurts more when we get up in the morning. It we're in more pain by noon, by evening. We need to understand that it is a blessing that we get out of this body, and God gives us a new one. And so don't look as death that's something to worry about if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Look forward to it. Look forward to that graduation time. So you see, even though these saints are brutally murdered, that old devil cannot take away their salvation. They're saved, as you and I are saved if we've come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Once again, your name must be written down. Once again, in verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. That is so critical today, that people hear. And when we say hear, it's not that you just hear my words, or you hear someone say these words. It's that you literally hear it. In other words, you understand it. And if you understand it, you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved. You're going to trust in Jesus. Verse 11. If it wasn't bad enough to have one beast, we have another. And you'll find that in verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Another beast. Two horns like a lamb. Spoke like a dragon. These two beasts are world dictators in separate fields. One is political, the other is religious. The second beast comes and makes his appearance and it will be a false peace. A calm will seem to come over the earth and over the world. The first beast will be of secular power, the second beast of religious power. The first beast will be a Gentile, the second beast will be a Jew. The first beast had 10 horns, the second beast has 2 horns. The first beast is of civil authority, the second beast will be of religious authority. The second beast is under the first beast. The second beast will use the military power of the first beast to enforce what the second beast wants. The second beast is kind of like a lieutenant to the first. As when we're doing the books of the Bible downstairs, it seems that if you just have the right number, it always lands on this on a person. If you have 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, we get to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. Well, the one that gets to the 1 Samuel has the tough one. Because if there's a 1 Samuel, there's got to be a 2. And so you get 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. You see, and it seems like it always, we end up with a newcomer, for instance. They're the ones that they always get the first. They never get the opportunity to follow with the second. And we always kind of make a comment that it's easy because if there's a first, there's always a second. Well, this second beast follows the first. The first beast is the head of a vast, powerful military and political system. It would seem that the world is doomed. It seems that there is no hope. And you know, sometimes even today, why we almost feel the same way as things seem to kind of fall down and almost crush us. But be assured, as Jesus came the first time, born in Bethlehem, he will come and get his church and take us away so we don't have to face this time. Be just as assured that he will come a second time. And he will be the victor and he will destroy this great enemy. Do you know and realize what the devil has offered to this beast, the power that he has given him? Do you realize that the devil offered this same power to Jesus first? Did you ever think about it that way as we look at how he hands this power to this person? Well, back in Luke chapter 4, and turn back there with me so we can just read it here, because the devil offers it to Jesus. You think the devil isn't arrogant to offer to the Son of God something he already possesses? Luke chapter 4, verses 5, and we'll even read down through verse 8. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Well, the old devil has raised up somebody that will bow down to him. And so the devil hands him power. Power. Satan, yes, has power. But Psalms chapter 2, and read that this afternoon, please. God the Father will give Jesus the kingdom and the earth. And that Psalm number 2, chapter 2, is very evident of that. It seems that no power on earth will be able to withstand this powerful, this tremendous political beast. But please know that God, in his power, in his strength, will prevail. The second beast comes to rule in Palestine. He actually becomes the minister of the first beast. The second beast is the one that comes in all strength. And today we have so many false churches, false doctrines taught in churches that used to be solid and sound have now been perverted by the devil's lies, and they have left the Word of God, and many does not believe even that this book is the living Word of God from cover to cover. They just believe that there's areas that are inspired, and thankfully, I guess, they're inspired to find the spots. The Word of God, we need to stay with it, stand upon it. As we realize this second beast as it comes, it will be a power and a strength beyond any cult leader that has ever been raised up. He will come with such power and strength, and he will labor like none other to reach every individual that they will bow down and serve him. The first beast, the second beast, in truth, the Antichrist, the devil. He will be with such strength and such power as he moves forward to accomplish this. There will be, again, a world church, one world church. There is something that both of these beasts have in common, and this should bring joy to our hearts. Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So you see, their end will be the same. Sometimes it seems that we're fighting a losing battle, but we are not. We know that we are the minority, but we are on the winning side. As we sang earlier today, who is on the Lord's side? And we sang that beautiful hymn. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? We need to stand upon the Word of God and know it's true and know it's faithful, know it will lead us and train us to be all powerful and all the strength and the power that God can give us. But only is it God-given. We talked about this morning a little bit in Sunday school how do you get victory over something that just seems to control you? And we talked about that we focus many times on that, and we try our best to get victory over it. But, my friend, if we would just take the Word of God and meditate upon the Word of God daily for our daily needs, you will find the victory will come. The victory will come. We focus on that one sometimes so much, and we just need to fellowship with the Lord and ask the Lord to give us His strength and His power. We have an opportunity right now to do that, to look to the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to search the Word of God every day, to grow in strength and in power. And be prepared for whatever is going to come. But you think about these saints that are saved during this tribulation period. It is only 7 years long. And many of them, as soon as they confess Christ, they are brought out and their head is cut off, or they're hanged, or they're brutally beaten to death, or they're stoned to death. These young Christians are going to have no time to prepare themselves for what's to come. We do. We have an opportunity. We have time to prepare ourselves for whatever there is before us. But don't wait till that emergency comes. Don't wait till that comes. Be preparing now. Be preparing now. Be ready for it. Be trained. We use the example of a person in the military. They don't just come and immediately give them a job to do that they're untrained for and ship them halfway across the world to go do something that they've never been trained or taught to do. And they go over there and they're doomed. Well, a lot of Christians are the same way. Because we have not prepared. We have not trained. Go to the Word of God daily, studying it, searching it, knowing what's in it. Are we going to have to face this time? No, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Yes, if you're not. But I'm going to make something a little bit clearer as we're to this point. And that is, I believe the Word tells us that if you have heard the Word of God now, and Jesus raptures a church this afternoon at 2:30, and the tribulation begins, that no matter how many times you hear the gospel and no matter how much you plead with God, you can't be saved. I believe the Word teaches us that. So please, don't risk it. Come to Jesus today. The devil is the prince and the power of the air today. He is a god of this age. But there's a time when he's going to be stripped of all his power and placed in the lake of fire. He has been for 6,000 years leading souls, poor souls, to hell. Our God is a God of love. But many people hold on to the fact that if he's a God of love, then he would not cast anyone into the lake of fire, into hell. His showing of love is that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. And so please trust in him today and come to him. The devil, on the other hand, is just the opposite. The devil has one purpose, and that purpose is to destroy. And he has set out to do that with all of his power and all of his strength. The first three verses of this 13th chapter refers to an empire. Verses 4 through 10 refer to a person, the dictator of this empire, the 10 kingdom federation. The second beast is a person, not a literal beast as it speaks here, but a beastly human, you could say. This terrible, this mysterious beast has many names and has had many names all through the Old Testament. It has been called the King of Babylon, Lucifer, the Little Horn, a King of Fierce Countenance, the Prince that Shall Come, and the Willful King. In the New Testament, the Man of Sin, the Son of Perdition, the Wicked, the Antichrist, the Beast. Jesus had a very sad statement when he was here upon earth. Because he said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And the ultimate is the Antichrist. They shouted to Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. There is probably not a better picture of evil in an individual than Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas was a thief. Barabbas was the worst of criminals. And the world chose Barabbas over Christ. Over Christ. They will welcome him with open arms. The scripture tells us that the beast coming out of the earth, two horns like a lamb, spake as a dragon. The Lamb of God in Revelation 5, 6 has seven horns. The number seven in the Word of God, of course, is perfection. The Lamb of God is omnipotent, all-powerful. The Lamb of God is omniscient, all-knowing. The Lamb of God is omnipresent in all places at the same time. Now, the false lamb, the Antichrist, has two horns. We are told that that is of limited power. These two, the second beast is also called in the scripture the false prophet. Has two horns like a lamb, but when he opens his mouth, he sounds like a dragon. What a contrast from a lamb to a dragon. Both spiritual and moral ruin is their goal. That's what they want. Rome and Jerusalem are the centers for Satan's program. His program will cover all the earth. As you can see, we basically got through one verse this morning. One verse. What an awful time upon earth. They will follow by the wonders and the miracles that this individual is given, and he is given his power by Satan. And as we've read, if you refuse to worship, you die. Now, we're going to cover the rest of those verses next week, so please come back and don't miss it. But more important than returning next week to hear the rest of the story is that you know Jesus as your Savior. As things in the world continue to move at such a fast pace, it seems impossible to think that Jesus is going to tarry very much longer. He's got to come. He's got to come soon. Many a preacher in the past of 50, 100 years ago would have the opportunity to win somebody to the Lord, and whenever the last person is saved, the last person that's going to be saved is saved, that'll be it, and the rapture comes. And each time he had the opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus, they'd bow their head and they'd pray, and as soon as he'd lift up his eyes, he would look heavenward. Is he coming? Now that's somebody that's looking for the return of Christ. Number one, they're busy winning souls for Jesus. And number two, they know he's coming. He came the first time. He's going to come back to get us. And he will return a second time in judgment. So please trust in him today. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we have the opportunity to come and open your word and look to your word today. I thank you for your power and for your strength. And please, I just ask that you speak to the hearts of all that are here. Those that do not know you as their Savior, that today they'll come. We sing this closing hymn for an opportunity that folks can come and publicly ask you into their hearts. And please, Lord, that you will give victory today, that there will not be one person here that is lost, that leaves here lost. And Father, we have much work to do, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. I'm afraid that most of us, our truck's going to be empty. We need to be busy sharing the gospel, leading people to Jesus. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your precious word. Speak to hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.